I want to talk about shortly about our build service. Cornelius will follow up and explain you the architecture and details. We have to leave out the demonstration here because we don't have any internet connection here, so we can't connect to our build server. But we will have a demonstration point at our place on the open user booth to demonstrate later. So, overview. Why at all a build service? We want to open up to the development of our distribution, the SUSE Linux distribution. We want really to open it up that everybody can contribute. We want it to make it as easy as possible. So ideally, as easy as with Wikipedia, that everybody on the world can connect to our server, view our sources, and make suggestions and changes or additions. Of course, we can't allow directly everybody to edit our kernel sources, for instance, because it would create security issues and not everybody knows really what he's doing. So we are developing a service where everybody gets the sources, can edit it, and we have a procedure how they can communicate with each other, with our kernel developers, with approved kernel developers outside, and they can work together. They can contribute, or everybody can contribute every sources and build packages in our system, not only for SUSE, not limited to SUSE, and discuss with each other. This is not only interesting for SUSE users, it's really interesting for every developer or packager, basically. At the moment, we have very much source code in the open source community. Of course, most experienced users are downloading the sources simply, compile it and install it. It's fine for them. It's not fine for the most of the users. Most of the users need some prepared packages, and they need really prepared packages which really work on their system. Often you find RPMs for Mandrake 5.1 because the developer has a Mandrake 5.1 or a Debian whatever, but he has mostly not the system what you as a user have. So the developers only offer a limited set of packages. We want to build a server where everybody can go to, maintain the sources alone for his own or together with others, discuss about his sources, and to build and to provide then packages working for everybody. It's also about the distribution open up, as I said. Okay, I was a bit too fast with this slide. I reached it already. The advantage of this approach is also that there would be very smaller turnaround times. So you have a fix, you want to release it. It's usually a hard process because you have lots to do as a packager or as an open source developer. You make it your fix into the SVN, for instance, that's easy, that's fast, but really to rebuild tarballs, test them, build packages, and ask people to test them and then to release it, it takes much effort to do this. Time what you can better invest in developing your application. So the goal for this build service is to minimize this effort you need, that you can simply commit as easy as you commit a change to the SVN from your application, that you can also simply press a button and the world gets new packages. What's the build service? The build service is two parts basically. It's the build infrastructure that are servers, which are hosted at the moment only at SUSE, but it's designed that we can cluster it so that also that this build service can be also hosted at different places. The build service is a kind of a version controlled source system. It's not a CDS, it's not an SVN, because we have special needs, but you have a full log of the history of all sources. You can get every version of the sources and you can directly edit it. We have also a direct connection to the builded packages. Not only you as a developer, as a packager, also all users which come in an anonymous way to the server. And we have hopefully also a strong mirror infrastructure behind. It's something we are building up at the moment, so that we can survive at all the traffic we will cause by the system. And last but not least, it's a communication framework, so you get really direct connections between the project, between the developers. Because we have really a documented way how to get contact from a KDE developer to the XE developer, but also from the user to the packager to the developer. It's auto looking for all the email addresses and then sending spam. The server infrastructure will be used via a set of tools. Some tools like command line clients, some are web interfaces. Web interfaces, of course, everybody can already use via a web browser, or everybody can download the web interfaces and modify them. And most people will most likely prefer the command line tool that is developers for convenience reasons. The project model is the way we are implementing this, and the system, how we think we can really enable everybody to get workspace, to make it really open, but that we also protect each project by each other. So that you can't directly edit the kernel sources, but you can offer the kernel team a change within the project. They can review it and take it. And there are a number of other use cases for the project model. Michael Schröder will explain lots of different setups and use cases in his talk tomorrow. A project itself is, you can imagine it like a directory on the server, and you have inside this directory a list of usernames which are allowed to write to. They can work together inside this project, and they can, for instance, in the simple case, you have only a single package. So you have whatever, your QSVN application, your project, what you are working to. So you have one package in this project, that's easy. You can have also a set of packages inside. You can provide them at once, because you need all these packages together to make really use of it. Or you can only host a small change, as I explained. You can only suggest a bug fix or an experimental change there and mark it that it should be merged back or not. To make it really, the goal is for us to reach really everybody. So we are not limited only to offer a service that everybody can put sources to us. We have also designed of the build service in a way that everybody can develop the build service with us together, have ideas and add new functionalities. The tools are of course open source. We will have an API documented, so everybody can invent any new idea, write any new tool using our build service, triggering builds from remotely or whatever. The build service can be integrated also in any tools. So if you have Eclipse or KDevelop and you have now the functionality to start a build locally on your disk, you can also add a button there to submit the request to build it also in our build service, for instance, only an example. We will offer build targets for SUSE, of course, that you can build for SUSE Linux 10.0 or the latest factory distribution. But we will not stop there. We will also offer to build for Debian, for Fedora or whatever. The reason is that we really want to get as much users as we can. So even when the people are using Fedora and only provide packages in first place for Fedora users, it's anyway good for us and they can maintain the sources at in our place so that we can also have these sources prepared for use. So that's the idea behind. And of course, integration with existing web pages if possible. So web pages could be a fresh read. It could be a web page like kdeapps.org or the like. But you have simply a place where, which is established already. You have the projects or the packages there announcing their release, and you have a link beside directly to download it for your distribution via our build service. That are only ideas yet, but we really have the good hope that we will succeed in this. We will have a trust model. Sure. The trust model is important because everybody will be able to submit any sources. Of course, we will only accept open source sources under an OSI license. We will also have rules, of course, what people should commit or not. So of course, by our rules, we will define that it's not allowed to submit evil sources, but no one knows. It's also possible that it's not the intention of the packager that's, to make some damage, but it's simply of bad quality of the sources or so on. So we need a trust model. The trust model has the idea behind that not our project is making the rule who you can trust or not. It will only rate the users how much you can trust them. And it's on the decision on the end user side if he trusts this packager or not. For instance, you can limit it in saying I only accept changes from people with the DE address, or I only accept changes from people who signed a contract. Then you can limit yourself and you install only these packages on your important server. Or you say, it's my playing system, who cares? I want to have this new application, it's so nice, I don't care, install it. But it's not the decision of the project anymore, it's the decision of the end user if you trust them or not. We get only them the help to see. Yes, we only provide a rating, basically, and the end user decides if you want to trust this package or not. Okay, I give over to Cornelius, who designed large parts of the architecture.
So I will now show you some more details about the technical implementation of the build service, and especially of the interface, the build service to the outside world, which is probably the most interesting for you because that's where you can interface. So this is the top level overview of the build service. It's a three-tier architecture. We have at the bottom the build backend, which does the actual package building, which includes storage and which also includes a variety of build hosts, which are provided by Novell. So that's the build power. Novell sponsors, and you can use for building your packages. On top of this backend, we have a front end, which primarily provides the OpenSUSE API, and this is a public API you can use from your tools, and which also our tools use to provide the user interface to packagers, to developers who want to build software, and also to end users who want to install the packages which are built on the OpenSUSE build services. So this is where the last column comes into the game. We have this mirror interface where the RPMs which are built or the binary packages which are built on the backend are provided to the mirrors. So the mirrors can sync the packages and the end user can install the packages using Yast or whatever other installer works for this kind of repositories we offer. We have a variety of them. So I will now go through the components. The backend is the block which is building packages. So that's the purpose of the backend. It stores sources of packages, which are version controlled, so you can get to old versions, you see what happens there. And it also provides a farm of build hosts which are doing the actual package building. They do this by running in a specified build environment, so you can specify how the package is built, on which distributions, which other packages it has to use, and so on. And this is also possible to be done for multiple hardware architectures. So we currently provide IF586 and x86-64. So you can build packages for hardware you actually don't own. So that's a nice feature of doing this with a dedicated build service. And at the moment, we only have these two architectures. There might be more architectures in the future. The packages which are built by the backend are then stored in a storage, which is accessible through our API, but which mainly is for being accessed by end users for installing packages. So this will be the part which is then used by the mirror interface. And we also provide all the stasis and log information you need to debug your package build or to see which packages are built, and so on. So that's for the back end. The front end is the programming interface to the build service. So that's what programs use who want to make use of the service. We provide a public API for this. I will come to this later in a bit more detail. And the functionality which is provided through this public API is the access to the source packages, so you can upload, download sources, and make version upgrades. And it also provides access to the status and log information you need to see which packages are built, if there are errors, and what happens on the build service. And it provides access to the packages which are the results of the build process and you need to install on your system. And it also provides the functionality to control the build, of course, and it adds a user management component to this so that you can specify users which are allowed to edit the packages you maintain on the server and so on. Yes?
Let's say I have a package that also runs a test suite as part of the build process, and I experience a problem that only happens on the build system. I can't verify or reproduce it on my side. How can it be solved? Do you have a solution for that or an idea yet, or is it something that is simply not possible at this point of time?
So what we have is all the build log information, so you see what happens there. You don't have real shell access to this server which is running the build and which fails, and you can't reproduce on your system. So that makes debugging harder, that's right. We currently don't have a real solution for this.
No, we have. What we have, you will be able, with a command line tool, also to set up the same build run on your local system.
Okay.
It will downloading the package and set up the same script as it runs on the build server.
So you will be able to debug a problem where you can set up the system locally. Yeah. You, of course, won't be able to set up a...
the thing is, the issue that I'm referring to is usually people have PCs at home, and not everybody has AV64 machines or whatever platforms. And there may be failures or issues that only happen on those different architectures that the application does not have access to. But yeah, I agree. Having direct shell access is probably not the best solution.
If there are ideas how to achieve this, I think if we see that we are running into these kind of problems, and many people have problems building 64-bit packages which they can't reproduce on their own systems, and then you can try to introduce tools and to introduce whatever better logs or to help with this. But at the moment, we don't really have a solution for this other than the normal build. The frontend could also provide a collection of utilities or additional services which are based on the information we have in the system. This mostly are now ideas. It isn't implemented yet. And this is also something which I think could be at least started to be worked on outside of the system. So that also would be an area where open source contributions are really welcome. So you could do spec file generation so that you can easily build packages where package building doesn't require very complicated spec files. You could provide news feeds about what packages are built, we have to provide a project rating so we can see which projects are more interesting than others, which are somewhat user thing. We are also thinking about interfacing with upstream repositories, so you can directly check out sources from the subversion repository, for example, and don't have to manually upload tables. We are also thinking about interfacing with other portals, for example, stuff like SourceForge or FreshMeet or maybe apps, GNOME files, whatever, so that you could have an OpenSUSE button in FreshMeet and you click on it and you get the SUSE packages you can just install. So that would be the final goal of this. And I think this could be done by integrating, by writing tools which integrate the two services. And we provide the API to do this. Another idea is to do automatic version upgrades. If a project releases a new version, that automatically the packages get checked in OpenSUSE and you really soon get new versions of packages. So there are lots of ideas and all this is work in progress, but I think it has a lot of potential to create really interesting services which are really useful and provide more value than we currently have with just building the code. So this is the API slide. The API is the public interface to the build service for programmers, for tools which access the build service. It's based on a REST-based API, so this is HTTP, and we use it in the way HTTP was meant to be used. So we have different packages and projects are presented as resources directly accessible by HTTP. We have all the functionality of the front end exposed through HTTP operations, so you can get a package, you can put package data to the service. And we also use some metadata and control data in XML format, where you specify how the package is to be built and which packages are included in a project. So all the data you handle, other than the actual source data, is done in XML, and we check the schema of the XML on the server. So it's a safe and nice way to interact with the build service. And one nice aspect of doing plain XML over HTTP is that you can use all the tools which are out there. You can use curl to download and upload packages. You can use, for example, Kate to edit program metadata just by putting the HTTP URL in the editor open dialog. And of course, all toolkits provide classes to and functionality to provide to access HTTP servers. So this is really, I think it's an easy way to interface with the build service, and it's easy to add tools which use this interface. You can find the documentation for the API on the URL api.opensuse.org/apdocs. There you have the complete documentation of this. I think it currently still is only accessible if you have a password, but we will make this available publicly as soon as possible. So that's a technical limitation because we were too busy to implementing the service and couldn't do all the authorization in the way we really would like to have. Okay, so but you will find it there. On top of the API, we have, at the moment, basically two client tools aimed at developers and packagers. One is the web client, which provides a web interface for uploading data, for building packages, for uploading sources, building packages, seeing what happens there, receiving the build status, and downloading RPMs. And we have a command line client, which provides the same functionality from the command line, which is a bit more easy to use than direct HTTP access. So the web client, which is available to you since today, looks like this. I don't know if we will have the demonstration here, but we can demonstrate it. You can see the web client in action at our booth, so where we have proper network access, and then we can show you how you can use the web client to build projects, to build packages, how to upload sources, and how to see how what happens on the build size. So this is the I think a start for a very convenient interface for building packages on the OpenSUSE build farm.
Is this already accessible from
asking for a password?
If it asks for a login and a password, and we have created that for the FOSDEM, a login and a password, FOSDEM. So everybody who found a bit of internet in these rooms can log in and start to build a package.
As said, we also have a command line client which provides functionality to list data on the server, to upload, download data. It's pretty basic at the moment, but it's a simple Perl script, so if you find it's not sufficient, then please improve it, send our patches to us, we'll integrate it in the source and all have a better command line client. The last part of the architecture is the mirror interface. So, and this basically has two parts. One is the interface to the mirrors itself, so that all the binary RPMs and binary packages are mirrored to our usual mirrors and all people who want to mirror packages. This also can be used by software developers who build their packages on OpenSUSE, who just want to mirror one package for their software. So this is one interface. The other interface is to the end users which want to install packages, and they usually do this through installation tools like Yast. We also want to provide some browsing tools, so you have an easy way to browse through all the software which is available in OpenSUSE, and you can see what is there and select what's interesting for you and install it without fiddling around with complicated FTP URLs or whatever. So that's the mirror interface. I think there will be a speed talk about some ideas about the mirror interface tomorrow. So there are other components involved in this. And, we have to discuss this also with you, how to provide this in the best way. Now, some words about the project model. Adrian also showed how it works. We all do all the to understand how you have to use the build service. You have to know that all is organized in projects. So you need a project, and in the project are packages and more data which are used to, which you have to use to build your software. And a project has a list of users for access restrictions. It has a list of packages and associated sources. It also is able, a package is also, a project is also be able to be constructed by linking existing sources in your project. So you can modify an existing project, apply a patch, and use this as your way to test your patch, and then later to give this patch back to the original project. So the linking isn't implemented yet, but that's what we'll do soon. Another aspect is you create build targets for projects, so you can say you want to build your projects for a certain number of distributions. You can also do more complicated stuff like specifying different projects, so you can, I think I have so that's easier to explain here. So we have a couple of base distributions, like our SUSE distributions or factory. We also can provide some Debian, or one example is a Teak image. And these are base distributions, and you have a project, for example, in this case KDE4, which is built for a couple of different base distributions, and it includes a list of packages which a project consists of, and you specify in this project for which distributions it's built. And each build target you specify here creates one repository of RPMs which can be mirrored and which can be installed and which can be used to build other packages. And then, for example, the Arrow people can take the KDE4 project and build a KDE4 Amarok version for it. And they use We have repositories which are created by the KDE4 project, which in turn use the repositories of the underlying base distribution. So you can easily layer different projects and can create simple and complex build environments which fit your needs. I think in the talk tomorrow, Michael will give some more details about this. I think it's a complicated but powerful concept. And for sure, this you can do basically whatever you want. That's enough.
What I want to add here is when you have the Amarok Jumbo repository which resides, it's easy for the end user. He has only to add this repository, and this repository knows that you need also the KDE4 project. So the end user has only to maintain one link. And the system, the installer afterwards, adds the other needed repositories. So even though it's not that easy for the packager, it's easy for the users in the end.
So at this point, we had planned to do the demonstration.
Wireless
almost.
Is there?
We have wired or wireless?
No wireless. We try to get wireless, but...
So do we have a chance to get a...
Yeah, we have it.
Just one sec.
Do you expect such unofficial SUSE sources like Pac-Man, like we more or less know, to change on this build farm or build interface so that we can really have stable packages like Pac-Man offers to us? Pac-Man offers to us packages which are more or less not allowed to be distributed by SUSE. Like MP3 support or...
The build service will not change the legal rules. So if there are packages which we are not allowed to ship, we will be forced to remove them again. So for instance, libdvd, CSS or so, someone may upload it, it will be officially forbidden by the policy, someone may do it anyway, we will have to remove it afterwards.
But there's no problem stopping, or there's nobody stopping someone from setting up this build service on a completely different infrastructure, as long as you don't host it by yourself.
We are discussing at the moment that from today, not all parts are really open source yet. Only the front end tools. There may come more parts of the build service open source, but we can't really open source all parts for now because, for instance, we use iChains for authentication. iChain is a novel product. We decided to use it simply that we can use the same user in all places, for the wiki, for Baxilla, and so on. So, but we can't dictate to Novel that they have to open source now their product.
Not yet.
Not yet.
It's only for authentication, correct? If you can set up an
adapt
based system, you could use something else.
Sure, if anyone else is working on the sources and add support for other offers replacements for these parts, sure, we can add it to our SVN, it's fine.
So there's only one installation of this stack? There is only one build server implementation accessible.
Our
there is not the possibility of installing another one for anything at this moment. You can't install a build server at the moment.
No. You can't include this at the moment. You can install the web front end, for instance, at your home, or the API application, but not the complete backend part yet, and also not iChain, for instance.
When will the backend release?
I can't promise. There are discussions about this. I can't promise it. What's there already or will be released rather soon is the scripts which are setting up the build system and so on.
But this part minus novel iConnector stuff will be released sometime. We don't know.
No, that's actually, especially for iChains, I don't expect it. I don't think. it's a commercial product, but you can implement what's possible is to implement a replacement process as open source project. We will not do it from our side, from the current team, but if someone else is, wants to work on this, we grant them SVN access and it can be developed.
So the authentication is abstracted, can be replaced.
Your trust system is sort of a public infrastructure, or it's in packages. For example, imagine I trust some people who's packaging, so I can check by kissing.
Actually, the trust system does not exist yet. but we think in the same way, yes.
It's that way. So someone will sync with his private key, so you can check the package comes from the.
There will most likely be a system where you can create a key pair on the server, a GPG key pair, and then you can use your private key on your laptop to sign the key.
Okay, my question was that in concretely, a developer will have a password for entering group, but also will have a basic pressure through to sync a package. And then if I download the package, I can check that package was loaded by that developer. Because that developer is the only one who has the casing.
You can anyway do, there will be a general signature over it that it really comes from the build service. And when you know it's really built in the build service, you know that it's from these sources, they are there, because there's no way for anyone externally to exchange only the binary RPM but leave the source RPM there unchanged, because that wouldn't be signed then. And you know it was this user with this username is linking to this user page. And if you trust this guy, you're fine.
I trust the guy, and then I don't trust the web server.
Well, you have to.
I don't trust the packets. I would prefer to have a synced package so that developer can enter his own password and put his signature, visible signature in the package.
Yes.
It's sort of GKI infrastructure, which is quite easy.
Yeah, but we can maybe discuss it later. It gives you not much more. It's
I think it's an important aspect of the system, but we are really finding ideas how to use it in the best way. So feedback is very welcome.
It's nice to have a rating system, but at the end, this won't be a barrier to some trashing cars or anything, or a bad done package, you understand? Or maybe someone who's enabled to supplant, not user.
Okay, so Andreas Bauer will now show you how the build service works in practice.
Okay. Andreas, both
of us. Could you increase the font size, please?
It's easy,
isn't it? We see the web client. For demonstration, I will add a new project and build a package in this project and then install the build package. So there are quite a few interesting projects here. We didn't delete our test packages because we didn't have time. So I already created a project AALib, and I'll build the package BB, which is a demonstration for AALib. So for doing it from scratch, I remove the existing package and add it as a new package. I won't create a spec file template because I already have a spec file ready for upload, so I won't have to.
Yeah.
also wrote the front end, so it's really his fault. And he fixed the bug some minutes ago because.
Issues. So we'll add some files now. Tedious because I have to add every file for itself. By using the command line client, this is a bit easier because you have a SVN-like interface where you can just create a directory and then put the whole directory up on the server. Okay, we have successfully added all the files. Now we retrigger the build by editing the spec file. This will also be easier in future versions. Okay. Now we can see the package is building. And we can now look at the log as the build service builds this package. Okay. There seem to be a few new lines more than expected, which might be the cause because I fixed a bug which cut off some new lines. So okay, there's time for improvement. There's place for improvement in any case.
Last week was the first time that we were really able to build a package here as a web front end. So, yeah.
Okay, just don't look at the new lines. Thank you.
get set up in a subdirectory. Now it's a complete system there, and they did a change root inside. Later we will use Xen to build it, and now the RPM call in this case is running. And now it's a spec file doing all the standard calls.
So this is basically what you see when you use RPM build or the Y2P MSH and stuff like that.
So the building all happens on the servers at the back.
we can also have a look at a status updater. This will show us the status of all. Ah, okay. It already succeeded.
No, it's supposed to be
now. No, this is the paket from. There you can see Project BB already succeeded on all architectures. So we'll go back. I'm not used to it too, but so now we have an RPM which we can download. And save it somewhere, and then if this works,
this is also for this installation.
We will see it when we can't write it. What is it?
Location.
There it is. So I'll install this now by I won't install, but you see, this is a real package. Building works already. It's just some files missing here, some dependencies which aren't able to be solved. So in this way, you can check in your own sources into the web client, which are then checked in into the build system. And as we said, there's an user FOSDEM with password FOSDEM, so wherever you can find a network, you can try to check in sources of your own packages and try to build it. So, thank you.
Okay. Only a short look in the future.
Oh, it's
good to use it on that one. Okay, just won't take too long.
So,
open sources and what's possible next? Only two slides. We collect currently future ideas on a wiki page. For the future, what we really definitely want is a template-based packaging. Template-based because we want also to enable all people who are not familiar to use RPM or spec files or Debian or whatever to build packages. There are lots of developers who are perfectly in writing C++ code or whatever, but they really don't really want to learn this silly RPM spec stuff. And there are also lots of use cases that most applications can be built anyway full automatically, because for instance a Perl module is always built in the same way. There's no need that you manually edit file lists and so on. You can simply use a template then and build it automatically. You want also add new build targets like for click or send images that you get a complete system. You want maybe also a translation framework, not sure here. And our QA department also requests that they want to maintain their test cases publicly so that everybody can join testing or adding test cases. Our roadmap today, we are in the preview phase, as you might have noticed. The build of add-on packages does work now. The next phase is alpha phase, where we have more hardware in place. And we have the infrastructure that we can really start to import the first packages we currently still maintain internally in SUSE, that we can maintain these packages outside together with other people. I hope we reach this phase next month. It will be also, we will also have mirror infrastructure at the place, so we can grant more people a login. And end users will already be able to use the packages because they can download. As the state of today, only people with a login and password are allowed to download the packages. And the really important phase is the beta phase.
Will they just be able to download the RPMs or also use it as an additional installation source?
At the moment, only download the RPMs, but with the alpha phase, there will be the new repository which you can add to your installer on the mirrors. Interesting, really interesting came this beta phase. It means we will have really the iChain connection then. And that means we can really open up the build service for everyone. Everybody can create an account then, like he is doing for the wiki already, and then really create packages for all distributions we will offer. That is a core set of functionality we will concentrate afterwards in building the additional stuff on top of the API. We have a web page in the wiki where links to the current resources are. The code is released in the NovelForge SVN. There's a link on the build service page. Build can be used with Fosten user. And we have a mailing list for further discussions. Thank you very much. Are any open questions or any remarks?
Yes, please. We are speaking of communication infrastructure, but we didn't explain what do you mean. Is there some kind of common bug tracker or memory-based?
Bug tracker, we have the standard novel Bugzilla. When you have a www.user.org account, it's a wiki. We have also a login already in this Bugzilla.
So all the people who will use this system to build package will be able to use the novel bug tracker?
That's okay.
Regarding the part of the communication infrastructure? Regarding the other part of the communication infrastructure, is there something?
There's not much. It's the user management we want to have also in the ready for the beta phase. But there's not much. What maybe interesting for you is check out the sources and set up the web client on your system. Because you can use the web client on your own system, it connects to the API, but you can edit already the web client, adding something, fix, flux, whatever. It might be interesting.
Do you also support building on older versions of OpenSUSE?
At the moment, we have only.
Backport, for example.
At the moment, we only support 10.0 and the current factory distribution. In the long run, it's a question of resources. We will see how good we can build up our mirror infrastructure. And if we can support as many distributions, we want to do it. But it's we will see how good our mirror infrastructure will be.
And it's also a question of demand. So if you need 9.3, for example, tell us. And we'll see.
Then it's possible to be on slash 9 or so in two so that people can test if that program on slash 9 and just think. So yes.
Do you expect to provide other backend, build backend for other distributions? If someone comes to you and said, oh, I will be able to build package and run at 9.
We have already also Fedora. You can also build a Fedora or a GitHub package and a Debian.
And they provide that, yeah. Already?
It's already there. Michael explained
it.
No, it's not here, but
okay.
That's already there. But even you have, you must at the moment write your own Debian build description, additionally to the spec file. So it's not that convenient. We hope that with the template system you get both generated automatically, simply by clicking some buttons in the EDM.
For each kind of distribution, you basically have a search root. You create a search root on the fly for building the package. What we saw on the demonstration?
Yeah, that at the moment it's a change root. It will become, for security reasons, XM instance.
Okay, but basically it means that you must automatic installation from different distribution.
Yes.
Okay.
Fine. That's part of Michael's water. Okay, thank you very much.